Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." This is the word of our Lord. A few years ago, there was a national survey that was conducted to find out which phrase people long to hear the most from other people. So the overwhelming response, the number one phrase that people desired to hear the most was, "I love you." In a solid second place was, "I forgive you." And in third place, which was a bit surprising, was, "Dinner is ready." This is the third week in a row that we hear passages about Jesus proclaiming that he is the bread of life, essentially saying that dinner is ready. Over the past 3 weeks, you have heard John Daly, as well as myself, preaching sermons that center and focus on what Jesus means when he announces dinner is ready and when he proclaims that he is the bread of life. You have heard sermons that have ranged from how Jesus is the true source of fulfillment in our lives, that nothing else will fill the voids or feed the hunger of our souls quite like our relationship with God. You heard sermons about trusting, that God will give you the bread you need each day, that whatever you need in your lives, God will provide for you. And you heard a sermon about how as we all receive this life and vigor from God, then we are to offer life back to the world by doing the works of God. So today, as we explore once again what Jesus means when he announces dinner is ready and that he proclaims he is the bread of life, I wanted us to take a different approach, and not to focus so much on the "I am the bread of life" statement, but rather focus on the skeptics in this passage. In our passage from John this morning, and even our passage from John last week, right after Jesus announces that he is the bread of life, the Jews, those that he was talking to, they grumbled, they complained, they debated amongst themselves how Jesus could possibly be the bread of life. In our passage from last week, they objected by saying, "How can this man be the bread of life? We know his father Joseph. We know his mother. How can he say he is the bread coming down from heaven when we know his earthly parents that he descended from?" This week, they were skeptical and debated amongst themselves about how Jesus could say, "I'm the bread of life," and ask them to eat his flesh and drink his blood. The Jews thought that was disgusting. They thought it sounded more like cannibalism than Christianity. For people living in that era, the objections by the Jews seem somewhat valid. They make sense because they didn't have all the puzzle pieces. They didn't know what was yet to come with Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. So from their perspectives, the skeptical views are valid, as they interpreted his statements literally and with a limited understanding. But we are Easter people. We have all the puzzle pieces. We know the whole story of Jesus. We know that Jesus spoke in parables, that he used metaphors and allegories to communicate. So when we hear these passages about eating the flesh of Christ and drinking the blood of Christ, we don't interpret them literally. Our thoughts do not immediately jump to Hannibal Lecter or cannibalistic rituals, but rather we envision the sacrament of communion. We envision celebrating the Lord's Supper. even though we may not have the exact same objections or the skeptical views as the Jews in this passage, we all do wrestle with our own skepticism at times throughout our faith journey. We wrestle with fully understanding and comprehending God in this world. We see the evil that exists, and we ask God where he is amongst all this strife, how he could allow these evil things to occur. We see and we encounter hardships in our own lives, and we lash out at God, and we say, how could you do this to me? And at various points in our lives, we wrestle with trusting God, trusting that God will provide us with exactly what we need, trusting that God has a plan and purpose for our lives, trusting that even when we do face hardships, that God will create something good out of them. Much like the Jews in our passage, our relationship with God is a journey. It's a journey of trusting. The Jews didn't understand it much when they first started out in their journey with Christ. They didn't fully understand or trust him. And at times, we don't fully understand or have complete trust. There was a cartoon article or cartoon illustration that's been circulating around for several years. And it's an illustration of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So Jesus is standing on this rock and he's looking out at the multitudes. And he has a loaf of bread in his hands. So he looks out, and one of the thought bubbles in the crowd says, is that bread vegan? And then there's another thought bubble in the crowd, and it says, I can't eat that. It's not gluten-free. And so then Jesus's thought bubble says, it didn't used to be this way. We may have certain dietary restrictions, myself included. But this cartoon is a perfect illustration of what all of us do at various points throughout our faith journey. God is always holding his hand out to us, trying to offer us exactly what we need, hoping that we will trust in him. We are the ones that throw up our objections. We're skeptical at times. We demand the things that we think we need or want instead of just taking what he is offering and trusting. A couple of weeks ago, I ended up down at Dart Airport to go on my first glider plane ride. So I showed up there with a couple of friends with an endless list of questions and very high in anxiety and nervous energy. So I climbed out of the car and I walked over to where the instructors were and I started asking them my questions. How high up are we going? How long are we going to be flying? What happens if a big gust of wind comes through and we lose control of this glider plane? How many deaths have occurred here? How long have your instructors been flying these things? So the men were very polite. They answered all my questions. It eased my nerves a little bit. So I walked over to the glider plane, and I met the man that was going to be flying the plane. His name was Roman. Roman was an older man and just so peaceful. He had such a calming presence, which calmed my nerves. And it also calmed my nerves tremendously when he said he had been flying these glider planes for 22 years. So I climbed in the plane, and Roman climbed in behind me. There was a man that attached the tow rope to the nose of the glider plane, and then he attached the other end of the rope to the propeller plane. This propeller plane was going to tow us up a mile high in the sky. So the propeller plane lunged forward, the rope tightened, and we're taking off down the grass runway until we start lifting off the ground and we're flying high in the sky. I wish that I could tell you that this was an exhilarating and liberating experience. That was not so much the case. It looked a little bit more like me hanging on to the metal bar in front of me, praying to God, and just clinging on to it for dear life. So it took us a little bit of time to get a mile high in the sky. And during that time, I'm doing some self-talking. I'm trying to get my breathing under control. And I'm just trying to get my nerves to subside a little bit. So the very instant that the nervous energy started to subside, Roman yelled from behind me and he said, hey, I need you to pull the cord over to your left and release the tow line. And I looked at that cord, and I was like, I'm not pulling that. There's no way I am pulling my lifeline. And so I didn't. And the Roman yelled again. He was like, I really need you to pull the cord and release the line. So I pulled the cord. And the cord dropped from the nose of the glider plane, I could just see it fluttering like a streamer behind the propeller plane. And at that point, it's pretty much just like, Jesus, take the wheel. I cannot articulate the terror that was going through my body, the fears, the irrational thoughts. All the while, Roman's behind me, just as cool and calm, as collected as can be. He was taking in the scenery. He was enjoying the ride. So I stayed in a panic mode for quite some time, just gripping the metal bar in front of me, until finally I couldn't take the anxiety any longer. I couldn't take my heart racing any longer. So I just decided to let go. I let go of the bar. I let go of my fears. And I thought, you know what? If God has it in his plans for me to plummet to my death in a glider plane today, then so be it. So, turns out, I did not plummet to my death. And instead, after I finally let go and relaxed, it ended up being an enjoyable experience. Turns out, it is highly peaceful and tranquil to be gliding through the sky without any propeller noise. It was beautiful to see the lakes. We went over Chautauqua Lake. We went over Lake Erie. You could see the various colors in the lakes as the waters change depths. And it was cool to fly over Westfield to see the steeples of our church and to see Main Street from the sky. After I finally let go of my fears and anxieties and my need to be in control in that situation, I had a great time. I found so much peace and enjoyment from it. Even the landing was pretty cool. We touched down in the grass, and you just slide through the grass so you come to a complete stop. Now, I'm probably never going to ride in a glider plane again. But I can at least walk away from that experience and say that I enjoyed it and that it was a good time and I'm glad that I did it. The glider plane ride was a journey for me. It was a journey going from high anxiety, relying upon myself in a nerve-wracking situation, to just letting go of my fears and my anxieties and uncertainties and trusting in God. And what a much more enjoyable experience it was when I finally did let go. It was so much more peaceful, even liberating. Our journey through life is the same way. We can hang on to the metal bar in front of us, clutching on to it for dear life, relying upon ourselves, letting our fears, our anxieties, and uncertainties dominate us. Or we can just let go. We can trust that God's got it and enjoy the ride. We have all been skeptics at various points throughout our faith journey. We have all thrown up our own objections, trusted more in ourselves, and tried to do things our way. That is part of the faith journey. It's part of the journey towards really trusting in God and relying upon him. But once we do realize that God's got it, that no matter what, God has us in the palm of his hand, then that's when our ride through life shifts from fear-stricken and anxious to peaceful and exhilarating, liberating, even enjoyable. There's a quote that I wanted to share with you guys. It said, life is a roller coaster. It has its ups and downs. You can choose, though. You can choose to scream the entire time, or you can choose to throw your arms up and to enjoy the ride. The real food of Christ's own body, the real blood of Christ, is offered to us so that we might have the living support in our lives, so that we can endure the difficulties of this world. And once we fully rely upon Christ, then we can sit back and enjoy the journey through life. So that once we reach the end of the journey, we can say, man, what a ride. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.